Jesus told his disciples, rejoice! Even what they were going through and going to experience, he reminded them to rejoice. So I'm telling you, church, rejoice in what you are going through or what you are going to face that you may not even be aware of today. Rejoice. And it just feels better when we get out of bed and choose to rejoice rather than complain. So rejoice today. We talked about the resurrection of Christ a couple weeks ago. And my message was, our God is able. And he was able to, Christ was able to go through the resurrection through God. God enabled him to do it. And as we think about our Savior on the cross, he also had to suffer. He had to suffer, as it was written, for a few reasons. Number one, so that our sins could be forgiven. Our sins aren't forgiven just because we ask. No, there was a horrible price paid, and a great price paid by our Savior on the cross. His shed blood for our sins. I don't know that we'd trade our blood for other people's sins, but we have to also remember that as others ask us to forgive them, if we hold unforgiveness in our heart, that doesn't line up with God's plan for us. And that's not God's will for us. So we have to free ourselves from that as well and free them from that as well. Well, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, our God is able. Our God is able. I can do all things on my own. No. Through who? Through Christ. Who does what? Who strengthens me? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he strengthens us by us first having to become weak. And part of that, church, is being weak in submitting to him. We have to show our weakness in ourselves and get past ourselves. And we have to submit to him. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's not on our own. It's through Christ. He gives us the ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of God, through the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to focus on one of the things that God is able to do because, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Got some ideas, Adam? Well, yeah, there's a million things. But I want to focus on one thing that our God is able to do for us. Oh, for us that are believers. Let me clarify, because these things may not be available to non-believers. Believers are overcomers. Believers are overcomers, and overcoming is being delivered. And today's message is, my God will deliver me. Does anyone today need deliverance? Okay? We need deliverance from what? Small things, large things, medium things? There's a wide variety of what we need deliverance from. Lord, I need deliverance from my idols. That doesn't mean that you have a carved golden image sitting on your mantle at home. It may mean it's your vehicle, it's your house, it's your possessions, it's your clothes, it's your whatever. We need deliverance from sin. What kind of sin? Is it just drugs? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Is it infidelity? No, there are a wide variety of sins. We just tend to focus on these big ones. Big ones? Are the big ones and small ones, or sin, sin? You see, the wages of sin is death. Not the wages of big sin is death. And the wages of small sin is a slap on the hand. The wages of sin is death. We are overcomers, and overcomers are being delivered. My God will deliver me through the power of overcoming. 1 John 4:5 says this. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes? Believes what? That Jesus is the Son of God. That says you believe in Jesus, or if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you are of God. And it says you are. That's present tense. You are of God. Right now you are of God. And you have overcome. Past tense. That has happened in the past for you. You've overcome. He's already put that in your makeup when you became a believer to be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. John said, you have overcome them. Who is them? Well, he talks about it in 1 John chapter 4. And he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. We still have to test the spirits to see if they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Is that still happening today? Absolutely. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So he says, you have overcome them, false prophets, spirits of the Antichrist. We've already overcome them. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, I've already skipped over this and messed up the whole start to my message, but I'll go back to it because it's important. I put a note with an asterisk and still missed it again. I've got to come up with a new system. I've done that too many times. But Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says this, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Start of the message. Great. Now what's he going to do? He's going to create in us a spirit of overcoming. He's going to give us the power and the ability to overcome. Again, what is it that we're overcoming? You see, my wife, she may have to overcome something that is small. My having to overcome something is greater. It doesn't matter that your husband and wife, that your family members, that your brothers and sisters, mother and daughter, father and son, whatever. That doesn't matter. Our overcoming is different for each one of us. But if we believe, he's given us that spirit to overcome. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, you will be overcomers and it will be easy. He doesn't say that. But he does say, you are overcomers. Let me go back. As I just read, you are of God, little children, and have overcome. Past tense. You've already overcome. You've overcome so much. Let's be honest. Your presence today says you overcame something already. You overcame the rest of the world that stays at home. Now I'm talking about non-believers as well. So as an overcomer, you have chosen to make a choice. You've made a choice to believe in Jesus, and you've also made a choice to be here in the presence with a body of believers. We're reading in Ground Zero on Wednesday nights about the apostles and what they did after the resurrection of Christ and after his ascension into heaven. One of the hardest things to do was sit and wait. We're gung-ho, let's go on a mission, let's go. And God says, no, not right now. You're not ready. Or he says, I don't have people ready for you. I want to prepare people for you. We always have to look at it both sides. Oh, I'm not ready, or maybe people aren't ready to receive me yet. He said, wait. Hang out in the upper room and you wait. Till what? Till the Holy Spirit comes. You see, I'm going to send him and you wait till that happens. We have to wait. We have to learn to wait and to be patient. And that is so hard to do. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Great. We're overcomers. We're born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, that's the victory that we already have. By the way, watch out for false spirits and false teachers, false prophets, spirits of the Antichrist, he tells us. Who or what is he delivering us from? In James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10. And then the next verse I'll read will be 1 Peter chapter 5, which is just after James, a few pages. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10. And it says this. It says, but he gives more grace. First of all, thank God for that, literally. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We think we have to be strong men. I can't let anyone see my signs of weakness. I can't let my sons and daughters, let alone my wife or my friends, see any sign of weakness in me. I've got to be a strong woman of God. Able to do all things without the need of a man or anyone else to help me. I'm a strong, independent woman. Woohoo! I am woman, hear me roar. Thank you, thank you. We're nothing without God, though. He says, great man of strength, man that wants to lead his wife and his family and his friends. He said, great man of strength, will you do something? Will you just humble yourself and get down on your knees and call out to me? Show me your great strength by submitting to me and allowing me to lead your life. God calls. There's no greater sign of strength than a big, giant, burly man who is so tender-hearted because of what God has done in his life and done to him and for him and through him. You see these guys that you'd be scared to run into on the streets until you get to know them and they show you what great men of God they are because they humbled themselves. But it says, resist the devil and flee, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's great. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. It's basically the same thing. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility. For it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. But be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whew. Who is God delivering us from? The devil. The devil. The devil. Each verse. Resist the devil. Look out for your adversary, the devil. The enemy. How does he help us? How does he deliver us? Well, he puts something inside of us. Now, Moses in the lion's den, or Moses in the lion's den, sorry. Daniel in the lion's den. I was reading about Moses earlier, sorry. Daniel in the lion's den, God delivered him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I might as well just throw in some other odd name in the Bible. They were delivered through the fire. My God will deliver me. I can't see that someone's going to throw me in a fiery furnace. And I can't see that someone is going to throw me in a lion's den. But that doesn't mean that I won't be in perilous situations that God will deliver me from. And it doesn't mean you won't either. You know, Eric mentioned 2 weeks ago about my coworker was coming to work. He's a half mile from work. And he got hit in a head-on collision. And word came to us from the family that they were gathering the family because he may not make it. His entire left side of his body was crushed. And I thought, you know, I read all the time that people cry out to God. And I cried out to God. I didn't literally scream, but I was pretty loud in my prayer and my plea to God. And I simply said, God, this man has a family. He is young. He is vibrant. His attitude is wonderful. But I prayed, God, if it is your will, please allow him to be healed. If it's your will. And God, in the midst of this, if that is your will, that you can be glorified in this, God. Nobody else but you be glorified. You know, a week and a day later, he was at home, recuperating. And I thought, oh my goodness, man. He had just finished his last surgery the day before. And he is home. And many of you prayed for him. Our work was praying and taking care of his family and different needs that they had and continue to do so. But I thought, my God will deliver me. We don't know what situation we're going to be in an hour from now, a day from now, a month, a year, 10 years from now. The disciples didn't know what they were facing. Remember, they didn't fully understand. And Jesus said, rejoice. Many times when Jesus said things, they said, I don't know what you're saying. They didn't say that, but it says they did not understand what he was saying. Our God will deliver us through these things. But how do we do it? When he puts those things inside of us, we must submit. It tells us, submit. We must humble ourselves. We must stand firm. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. These verses that we just read out of James and 1 Peter also said, He will strengthen you. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, He says, well, I'll let you hang out there in that holding pattern of suffering. But may Christ Jesus, after that, may He perfect you, may He establish you, may He settle you, and may He strengthen you. And then to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He strengthens us. He helps give us the thing inside us that says, stand firm. If there's one thing I try and do at my other job, it's to stand firm in my faith. Oh, if I had a nickel for each person that walks up to me and says, oh, I'm a believer too. Oh, we got a Christian leader. Woohoo! And then you watch the way they act and the way they talk. And little by little, that doesn't line up with who and what we are. See, now it's we, because we are believers. But you're impacting the way I look to others as well. Because we all wear that label that says what? Ambassador. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are His representatives. We are His spokespeople. What are we saying? Are we doing well at selling the brand? And it's not about peddling the message, because it talks about that here as well. But it says, our deliverance of freedom or of overcoming sin was made possible through Christ suffering on the cross. Again, His shed blood, His finished work on the cross was so that He could deliver us from that life of sin. Romans 6, if you read the entire chapter, it talks about that. It talks about moving us from being slaves to sin to now being slaves to God. We're no longer bound to sin and bound by sin, but we're freed through God, through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I can get there. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 58. And I love this. My heading says, our final victory. It doesn't get better than that. Our last win. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must pass on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, my God will deliver through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Again, be steadfast in our faith, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means we got work to do in the Lord. We can't just be steadfast in our faith and do nothing about it. Faith and works, they go together, not each as individuals, but together. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Flip over a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. And it says, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. "But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We're not warring with the same things. We're not having to deal with the enemy like those that are in the world are. We have different power and we have different authority over our enemies. Amen? We have different power and authority over our enemies. Now flip over to Ephesians a few more pages back. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 through 20, and it's one we're familiar with about the whole armor of God. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, when I read that, I think we have to be strong in that, but we have to be knowledgeable in that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Electricity is strong and powerful. But in order to handle it and harness it properly and effectively, we have to know it. You can't walk up to a 220 or 440 wire and just grab hold of that thing and think, I'm going to rip this down. We have to know what we're handling when we're dealing with that kind of power. Wielding about the power of God in an uneducated or reckless manner is no good. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Yep, there's that deliverance need again. Deliver us from what? The devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Those things are still happening today. They didn't just go away. The rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, those are still out there. It says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Church, in order to be delivered, we have responsibilities as well. Number one, we have to be open to that deliverance. We have to dress ourselves properly every day. We have to watch for the enemy every day, even when life is going well for us. We have to use the tools and weapons provided to us. Remember a couple weeks ago when I talked about that backyard burning we were doing because the bushes has just creeped on us day in and day out, year over year? And it's the same thing here. We have to watch for the enemy every day because he sneaks in. And next thing you know, you look up and he's got half your life under control. And by the way, when he creeps in on your yard and take over, you don't always know what to do. You cut it back and it comes back. You burn it and there's still remnants, there's still scars, as I said a couple weeks ago. But you've got to do something rather than just throw up your hands and go, I give up. We've probably passed houses like that, landscape, lawns, trees, shrubs, bushes, out of control. Please don't say that's my house. But it's people that just gave up. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to get hold of it. My God will deliver me. Now, I want to close with this. I'm going to give you seven examples that God may deliver you. Things that he may do to help deliver you. And some are things you may not have thought of. One of the ways he can deliver us is to soften our hearts. Don't be shocked by the second one. He may soften the hearts of other people. He may deliver us from a situation by softening the hearts of other people. Number three, he may deliver us by giving us strength through Christ. And that strength can come in many different ways and forms. Number four, he may give us a way of escape. Number five, he may inspire us to find a solution. Rather than just throwing our hands up and saying, I guess there's nothing to do. He may inspire us to find a solution. Number six, he may inspire others to help us. I watch videos, as most of you know, on YouTube. There's different lawn mowing companies out there. Hey, I noticed your yard was a mess and I'd like to offer to clean it up for free today. No charge. I'll take care of it. I'll mow it. I'll edge it. I'll weed it. I'll trim the trees and the bushes. For free? Yes. What? He may inspire others to help us. Church, be open because we're looking at ways he may deliver us, but you may be the answer to delivering somebody else. And number seven, meeting your needs with a miracle. You see, God still performs miracles. As we experience his deliverance in our lives each day, it helps us to increase our faith to deliver ourselves from that daily challenge of sin and death. But remember, our God is able from a couple weeks ago. And remember today, my God will deliver me. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll be right back.